Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me, as always, and thank God, is my co-host Nick Mason.
It's great to be here on The Weekly Planet, exclamation point, not what? A question mark.
Oh, really?
That's what you said.
I would never.
You definitely know what show you're doing every time you hit the record button, right?
That is true. Though Sometimes when I do my other less successful podcast with my wife, Suggestible, I call her
Your
Mason.
Wife, Suggestible?
My wife, Suggestible, yeah. I call her Mason and Suggestible.
And not, okay, there we go. We found the level.
That's
this
right.
Is great.
We're recording this one a little bit early, as we sometimes do, because I'll be away this weekend. So if we miss any big news, just know it's because we knew about it and we decided not to include it.
That's exactly correct. And any other time we might miss out on any news, it's not because we don't have any powers of observation or, we're not on top of everything. We're 100% on top of anything. We just recorded early.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Mason.
Even if we said we recorded late. That was a joke.
Do you want to hear the topics of the week?
I would love to hear the topics of the week.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the retiring of a cinematic legend.
Ooh.
A new adaptation of The Green Hornet.
Oh.
Maybe some exciting news, I think, for some Star Wars live action stuff coming up.
Oh my goodness.
What's his name? What's that stupid guy with the... with the lion vest.
Craven. That was going to be my one bit of news. Maybe I'll sneak it in quick.
It could still be your one bit of news if you are so inclined.
He's a stupid man with a stupid lion vest.
I want to quickly talk about some Multiverse of Madness stuff that was revealed because it's now on streaming, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
The Thor Love and Thunder reactions.
Oh.
My goodness.
Ragnarok.
That's good. And also what's going to be happening in Marvel Phase 4. And then we're going to be talking a bit about the Umbrella Academy, seeing as I've watched all of it and Mason has watched some of it.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah.
That's right. But if you wanted Mason to watch all of it, that's my fault because I pushed this forward. So, just if you want any if anyone's upset about Mason not watching all of Umbrella Academy, including you, Mason.
James's fault.
Direct all hate towards weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, which is my official.
No, that's where I read those emails. You don't read any of the emails, James. Direct them at somebody else.
Yeah, direct them at anybody.
Somebody we don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Your boss. Now, Mason, there are time codes below, aren't there?
Yes.
If people want to jump around because Rob Collings, who edits this, always does that. What a wonderful job he's done. Let's start with this via the Washington Post. After, this is going well, after 6+ decades.
Your brain is going, okay, after this, got to put on the washing.
Yeah.
Washington Post website.
Oh, shit, you just reminded me. Hang on, I'll be right back.
Are you actually putting
There's
the washing
I
on? Oh, my God, this is unprecedented. This is, can you believe he's putting on the washing over putting on the content? He's having some sort of conversation with his wife. Could be an argument. He's back. He's coming back. It's all right. Now, James, I note you didn't.
I forgot something.
You didn't actually put the washing on.
No,
I told your wife to do something.
Well, that counts, doesn't it?
That counts.
We're
yes.
a unit.
That's true.
I do a lot of the washing, just to clarify. I'm a very housework-focused husband.
Mm.
You know that show House Husbands?
No.
It's made up, but it's about me.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, I'm sure there's a hoe called House.
There's definitely
sure there's a
show,
hoe.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a... Let's just do the show, Mason.
Okay.
Enough with your distractions.
I bet there's 10 shows called House Husbands. And yeah. Some are reality shows and some are about, what do these husbands get up to when their wives are right? Oh, they're in the bloody man cave and they're
no doubt
drinking a brewski.
Playing some pool.
They're drinking
some billiards.
Yeah.
Dartboards.
Oh, dartboards, all right.
Soccer, table soccer. Mason, after 6+ decades in the industry, John Williams is retiring.
Good.
So he's
good riddance.
He's 90 years old.
So he's been doing it since he was 30 years old.
Well, here's some of the things that he worked on. This isn't the first thing, but he worked on Lost in Space from 1964.
Wow.
He worked on Fiddler on the Roof from the 70s, Jaws, Star Wars, Superman, Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park, Harry Potter, my goodness.
Mm.
Well, and various other things like scattered throughout. Like he started in television and very quickly kind of more in the 70s, you know, he kind of transitioned over into big cinemas, and he's kind of your go-to guy for if you want a big, bombastic and, you know, some subtle cinematic scores.
But we don't listen to the subtle cinema. They disappear.
Yes.
Speaking of subtle cinematic scores, your children are screaming. Is that because of the thing you asked your wife to do?
Yes, I said scream at the kids and have them scream back.
It's something to do. It's something to do on a weekend. We've seen all the movies.
That's right.
Just do some helpful screaming.
I took him to Buzz Lightyear and he won't stop not talking about it. We need something else to do.
We thought he would talk about it for at least the weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
And you could go, uh-huh, yes, I agree. He hasn't said word one about it.
We should talk about the Buzz Lightyear box office, actually. Yeah. But anyways, this is a quote from John Williams. At the moment, I'm working on Indiana Jones 5, which Harrison Ford, who's quite a bit younger than I am, I think has announced will be his last film. So I thought, if Harrison can do it, then perhaps I can also. I don't want to be seen as categorically eliminating any activity, Mason.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Categorically eliminating any activity. I can't play tennis, but I'd like to be able to believe that maybe one day I will. So there you go.
You know what, John? I believe you can play tennis.
Mm.
Maybe his second career.
Yeah.
He's just out there. He's the first man to return one of those Serena Williams serves. This guy's incredible. He should have started 70 years ago. It's amazing.
I've told you a story about my friend from school.
No.
I don't
want to hear about any of your friends from school.
It'll be quick. I think it's quite funny. He's a guy who maybe lacks a little bit of self-awareness.
Oh, yeah, great.
Maybe he got hit in the head. I don't know what's going on with him. You know, I'll name him so you know.
Okay, great. Oh, yeah.
But he was talking about, he's like, yeah, no, I used to play tennis when I was a kid. I was really good, you know what I mean? I was quite talented. But then I quit. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, why did you quit? And he goes, I kept beating everybody.
I'm sure.
So who knows where he would have ended
up. That's very true, yeah. He would have run through the entire population of the earth playing tennis. No one could defeat him, you know. And then you become the king of the earth because of how good you are at tennis playing. And
that's
then,
right.
You know, what, no more worlds left to conquer.
Not with John Williams not playing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I think John Williams should maybe take a page out of Danny Elfman's book. Like just before he retires, he should do a set at Coachella and take his shirt off and we see all his weird tattoos.
And he's so ripped.
Yeah.
You see how ripped Danny Elfman was?
Yeah.
People are like, what's happened here?
Mm.
Great question.
It is great. I mean, he was in Oingo Boingo.
Yes. A rock band. Yeah.
The rock band Oingo Boingo. That famous rock band filled with trumpets and saxophones and so forth. He's clearly done so,
we'll probably end up, we don't often do music episodes, if ever, but I feel like we should definitely do one on like the work of John Williams it'd be a lot of us describing something and going, yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah. We can't play it for various licensing purposes, but
yeah, but we can hum it. Which is that?
Beetlejuice. Theme of Beetlejuice.
Did he do that?
I don't know.
Was that Danny Elfman?
That was Danny Elfman. Yeah, that's right.
Great. Let's quickly talk about Lightyear, though, because it massively underperformed. I think it's only at about, as of like Friday, but like 100 million worldwide.
100 million?
Yeah, 200 million budget.
That's
some people are saying it's because it's too woke. I would say because it's just not really a great kids' movie.
Do you think it's because Chris Evans' iPhone 6 finally packed in publicly
and
people were dismayed by that and they're like, well, he probably didn't bring the full weight of his performance.
How is he running a 6? Like, I was running a 6 to, like, 2014, 2015, and it was struggling.
Mm.
Yeah.
What probably happens is he sends text to an assistant who has a modern phone and then that assistant, like, does modern-day phone stuff.
Yeah, you might be right. Actually, I think I had it longer than that. I think I had it maybe even 2017, 2018, Mason.
Whoa.
What are years and what are phones?
Right.
Anyway, so Buzz Lightyear, look, I think it's also one of those things where I think it's like a number of reasons. I don't really think it's that tiny moment that I nearly missed where two women kiss. I mean, there was a similar kind of tiny scene in Multiverse of Madness, and that's like a $900 million plus movie,
true.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, whatever. I think it's like the last two Pixar movies have gone to streaming. I think it's probably going to do well on, you know, on Disney Plus. It's also confusing as to what it is. I asked Claire, I'm like, what do you think this is about? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, it's the movie that Andy watched when he was a boy that inspired him to get the Buzz Lightyear action figure. And so it's the origin story of the action figure, but as an actual movie. And she's like, what?
Okay, but do you think that the general public cares about that? Because I feel like if you just said, there's a Buzz Lightyear movie. Oh, Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story? Yep.
Yeah, maybe
like,
call
people
it.
People are either going to see it or not. I don't think they're going to go, okay, but it's the toys that are going to be the toy. Whereas the toy, I think they'd go,
yeah, I guess
maybe
that's
I'll
true.
See it or not.
Yeah.
You know, or
maybe they should have called it Buzz Lightyear, the character from Toy Story.
Right?
Yeah.
A Toy Story story.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was the thing that Tim Allen didn't come back. I don't think it's that.
No, I don't think it's that either.
Yeah.
I mean, is it because families who would normally take, who in years past would have taken their kids to this kind of movie, have gotten used to the fact that they appear on Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Like the last two are like, and they can just go, well, do you want to watch Turning Red again or whatever? Yeah. And they go, yes. And then it saves them a trip to the cinema. Maybe.
Yeah. I think also when like four Toy Story movies already exist on Disney Plus, plus all the extras, maybe you're just like, they can watch Toy Story at home. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm taking the fucking Minions too whenever that comes out.
Let me ask you this question about Minions.
I'm ready. Here we go.
So on all the billboards and stuff, there's like four different Minions. There's like one with one eye.
Yep.
And there's a tall one and a short one and a fourth one. I don't know. Maybe it's a girl one. Are they individual characters or does Steve Carell just like extrude a new Minion whenever he needs one out of a pile?
No, he didn't create them. They already existed. And if you've watched Minions, the origin movie, they existed like at the dawn of time.
Oh.
And they've been looking for a master.
They've been wearing goggles since the dawn of time?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was like a fern goggle.
Maybe a fern goggle, sure. Yeah.
But they're not – I know they're kind of memed to death by boomers and, like, it's – people are kind of like, I hate these. They're not – they're pretty good movies, really, for kids' movies. They're pretty fun, yeah.
But, like, so the four Minions, they're specific ones. And people
there's,
go,
like,
oh,
Kevin
the...
and the other one and whatever. Right, okay. I know there's only – I can't remember the other names.
Okay,
the other
but there's definitely a Kevin.
They have names and goggles fern goggles.
Do you think Kevin is named after Kevin Bacon?
He's named after Kevin Rudd, former Australian Prime Minister.
That's terrific. And the timeline works out there as well.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go. This is by a Deadline. It says that Lee Whannell is in negotiations. Lee Whannell, of course, recently did The Invisible Man.
Mm.
He also left The Wolfman recently because he's just like, what's a dead franchise that I can fiddle around with?
Sure.
What's the Dark Universe? Mm. You can fuck around with that.
That's nobody right, nobody cares.
Well, speaking
if it doesn't work, they just throw it on the pile, and then whenever anybody reminisces about the Dark Universe, they confuse your movie with another one that... It's like Robin Hood movies or King Arthur movies.
Exactly.
People are like, oh, my God, that last one sucked. Who made it? I don't know.
Yeah.
And Guy Ritchie?
Do you mean, the last one or the...
Last one.
Yeah, the Russell Crowe one or the Taron Egerton one.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyways, he's going to be directing The Green Hornet and Kato, the movie.
Whoa.
Now, we got a Michael Gondry version of that with Seth Rogen and...
Jay Chou?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that movie.
And Christoph Waltz is in it.
Oh, yeah. He was he'd done... That thing that people liked him in.
But
okay.
Yeah, and so whatever Seth Rogen's character's name is, Brit or Brett or Brick or something.
Brack.
He's like.
Steve Brax. He was named after the Victorian
Labour
Premier Steve Brax.
Oh, my God.
The timeline lines up.
But he was like, you know, like a useless playboy kind of character. And then.
You got the Batman Arkham fighting skills.
Yeah.
From Kato.
Watching the Arkham games.
So famously, Bruce Lee played him. Well,
yeah,
we saw that,
true.
Of course, in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, Bruce Lee played Kato and then some other guy played.
Yeah, some other
Rich
guy.
Rich Brickland.
Steve Brax.
Yeah. Rich Reed.
Yeah.
A wealthy newspaper publisher and the masked crime fighter known as the Green Hornet.
Cameron Diaz was in it as well. Anyway, I remember it being fine but not great. But
David Harbour is in it.
Is he?
Says that here.
So Michael.
Edward James Olmos.
Almost?
He was almost in it.
Wow, there you go. Mm. Yeah, so the director.
Cast.
Yeah, so the director of this, he did like Be Kind, Rewind and,
sure
and things
did,
like that. And so, he's known for like really incredible, you know, physical like props and recreate and you know, like the sweep that was shot and they'll pull things back and it looks like it's done digitally, but it's actually a really complicated.
Yeah. Well, he did Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
So that's a very good example of
and
that.
And a lot of music videos, I think.
Yeah. So they, I remember they kind of, the studio like wrestled a lot of like power away from him and it kind of became this whatever movie.
Yes.
But I think it's a, look, it's, there could be some, there's definitely something here, I think.
Yes.
That could be good. Yeah. And maybe you'd cast the guy who was Bruce Lee in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Whoever that guy is, whose name I don't know. But yeah, okay, do it. I love this trend of him resurrecting things that nobody cares about and that have failed.
Yeah, and that might be good.
I mean, it might be good, yeah. You
know, so I guess the question as to whether or not it would be good is what company currently owns the Green Hornet?
Oh, wow.
I'm going to look it up because it might be Dynamite or something.
But I think it's more important, like, what studio has
what
it,
studio? Right? Yeah, yeah. Well, it's Sony. Funny. Yeah, it's Sony. So.
What?
Yeah.
No, they do some okay things.
Do they?
I feel like this is a small enough property where they'd just be like, whatever.
Yeah. Because the question becomes, and also it's a hero.
Yeah.
So at the very least, the hero can do superhero stuff.
Yes.
As opposed to, oh, here's one bit of news, James.
Okay. Is it Sony Craven news?
Yeah, it's James, it's Spum news.
Yes.
Spum's back in the news, the Sony Pictures universe of Marvel movies.
Thank God.
And here's, there's been an interview with Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Was this via Variety?
This is from Polygon.com, but it's probably from Variety.
Sure.
They probably repackaged it. They've repackaged it from Variety.
Well, we do that.
That's true. So the actor who stars as Kraven the Hunter in Sony's upcoming movie revealed more information about the film at the Cine Europe conference.
Oh, did you go to that this
year? Yeah, I was there. That's why.
How was it?
That's why I'm late or early.
Yeah, okay. Time differences.
Yeah, I was very European.
Was it?
Very kind cosmopolitan.
What kind of breads did they have? They're that swirly bread.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like two different types of bread in a loaf of bread.
What, you know,
marbled bread.
Whatever kind of bread you don't have in this house, that's the kind of bread they had.
I don't eat bread, Mason.
Well, they had every kind of bread. Oh, my God. Just a steaming big table of bread. Just a big wooden table of bread. And, good bread.
That sounds great.
It was great.
Maybe actually. Next time you could get me an invite.
What are you going to do? You stand around the bread table and not eat
I'll
bread?
I'll eat the bread. I eat bread, Mason. I was joking. And I'll definitely eat a good bread on, like I don't want waste calories on just eating bread, just pointless bread. I want good bread.
No, but I see what would happen there, I think, is you wouldn't appreciate the really good bread because you don't spend the remainder of the year like me eating terrible bread, just the worst processed bread. So I think that'd be a waste of an invite.
Could I eat a slice of terrible bread before I eat the good bread?
Yes.
Could I keep it in my pocket on
the
plate? You
could do that, yes. Just you have a nice piece of warm, squished bad bread and you could eat it beforehand. Yes, you could.
Right.
Okay, so Taylor Johnson. At Cine Europe, which I was at.
Yeah.
They had all sorts of gelato.
And breads, yeah.
Bread and gelato. Little espresso.
Yeah.
Everybody had a little espresso.
Everybody?
Aaron Taylor Johnson took a little sip of his little espresso.
I don't drink coffee.
Here.
I don't think I would appreciate. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Well, you could keep a cup of 7-Eleven coffee.
Like one of those in my top pocket of my polo shirt.
And you could keep it in there and you could have a big swig of cold coffee before you have a good one. Anyway, he sipped his little espresso. And he describes Kraven as one of Marvel's most iconic, notorious anti-heroes, Spider-Man's number one rival.
I would not disagree with that.
Anti-hero?
That I would, yeah.
A character he found particularly interesting because he doesn't have any superpowers. He's just a hunter, a human with conviction, an animal lover, and a protector of the natural world. He's a very, very cool character.
Now, you just kind of brushed past something in there, though.
What's that?
And that's about he's an animal lover and a protector of the natural world.
Yeah, there we go, yes.
Because my memory of him, if I go into my mind,
go into
I'm
your
like,
mind
what am I looking at?
You're looking at bread.
Yeah,
and
I'm
you're
looking.
Wishing
I push that
bread.
Aside.
Okay.
You know, like Sherlock.
No time for bread.
And he's wearing a big lion-faced vest.
Yes.
So what are they going to make it? Bloody tofu, bloody kale vest,
he's
going to
have
Mason?
A bloody kale vest, mate.
I mean, there are...
Yeah, that's the absolutely insane part of this.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was pitched to Aaron... I wonder if Aaron Taylor Johnson is like a vegetarian.
And you know what I think it is?
Yes.
The Sony Spider-Man villains aren't actually villains.
Oh, yeah, no, for
because
sure.
They're trying to make a hero universe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's it. I wonder if...
They can't have a guy shoot a bunch of lions and then be like, I'm a good guy.
Do you think they've pitched it to Taylor Johnson as he's a hero and he's an animal lover and all this sort of stuff? Yeah, I think most likely.
Mm.
But yeah, like the whole premise, Look, I don't. We've talked about this before, and I don't want to beat a dead horse. Yep. A thing that Aaron Taylor Johnson's Kraven the Hunter would never do because of how much he loves animals. But the whole vibe of Kraven the Hunter, he does have a dead lion's face on his chest. He's killed every.
He's bored.
He's killed every big game in the world with his bare hands.
Yeah,
there is no more challenge. And the reason he wants. The reason he's Spider-Man's number one rival is because he wants to kill Spider-Man because Spider-Man is the most dangerous game.
Yes. Russell Crowe's in this, but he's also Zeus.
He's also Zeus.
And those universes might be connected. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
But it's wild.
Yeah, okay.
They're like, yeah, well, let's try to make this guy a good guy. Why in this universe then is he Spider-Man's number one rival? Are they rivals in terms of crime fighting? Are they both doing too many good deeds and crime fights?
Yeah, they're saving so many animals each. It's going to be a saving animals contest.
Oh, that sounds terrific.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, anything can work, obviously. But I
Sony
just,
has a bad track
I don't like that. This trend of Sony just being like, but actually he's a good guy. Just make him a bad guy. Make him a guy who shoots lions.
Or
that's
even, why isn't there a Prowler solo movie? At least he's, they've got form, he's in... The Spider-Verse movie and in the video game, in the mainstream Marvel universe, he's a former villain turned hero. At least there's precedent there, and maybe some storylines that they could mine from.
Exactly.
But this, what are you doing? Come on.
So the direct,
right. What's the vest gonna be?
We've seen the onset. Well, I've got a quote here.
Yeah.
And you've probably seen this.
Isn't the onset photo? He's just wearing like a white button-up shirt. And he's running down the street
in a furry coat or whatever. It says. There's another quote from this event, which you would have heard because you were there. This one is shot.
No, I was too busy stuffing my ears with bread.
Why?
Yeah, well, I've got to.
It's Europe.
I filled up my pockets with bread. I didn't have enough room for more bread. So.
Fair enough. This one is shot entirely on location.
Ooh,
very impressive. That doesn't really mean anything. You know,
in New York City, baby.
Yeah, I guess it is. But like, if he's a good guy and he's saving animals, and he's not fighting Spider-Man. What is this?
And I don't care about any other things, James. How's he get the vest? Is his father? You know what?
I think Russell Crowe plays his father.
I bet it's his father's vest, and his father was a big game hunter, and he killed the lion. And then at the end, he's going to put the vest on, and he's going to be like, "This is a reminder for me to love all the animals."
Oh God! He's playing. His father's playing Nikolai Kraven.
Okay.
So I guess it's his father. I guess I'm assuming.
Right.
Well. I love movies, and I will never stop loving movies, even movies which will be bad. Though, the director of this, he did the movie A Most Violent Year, which is apparently a very good movie, which I haven't seen. But he also did Triple Frontier, which is a movie I also saw for Netflix, and it was fine.
That's terrific. Does that have a Brolin in it?
Maybe. It's got Ben Affleck in it.
Terrific.
And the guy from The Predator. He's in Wolverine with a robot hand.
Oh, yeah,
Oscar Isaac is in it, I think, as well. It's a really good cast. It's got that classic thing, which I love, of Netflix. There's a new one at the moment, which is Kevin Hart and Woody Harrelson. It's like two great actors who are mates in a boring movie.
Terrific, yes.
The Rock and Ryan Reynolds.
The Rock and Kevin Hart.
The Rock and Kevin Hart. You know, all of these movies, they're just...
The Rock and Ryan Reynolds
The
again.
Rock and Roll, Mason.
Mm.
Is there a poster in that? Two great mates, boring movie. Two great actors, boring movie. What is it, Mason? It's something like that,
something
isn't it?
Something like that, isn't it? Yeah.
Weekly Planet Posters guy will sort it out when he eventually gets around to that. This bit of news, Mason,
go on,
is via the Christian Harloff YouTube channel. Oh, you might know from the Schmoes. No, you might know him from Collider. He has a scoop, it seems, but to be considered a rumor, that Cal Kestis, who you might know from the Fallen Order video game,
yes,
there's a live action Star Wars series in the works. Starring Cameron Monaghan, plays Cal Kestis.
Whoa.
And his likeness of Cal Kestis is used in the video games. Apparently he's signed on, so it is happening, but no production date has been set. I would love that.
I would love it also.
And, I mean, they could do all of the all of the action sequences they did in that game in live action, but they already did that in Obi-Wan. So they're going to have to think of new ideas.
Do you think, if this comes to fruition, do you think it'll just be a retelling of the video game, or do you think it'll be a new
thing? I think it'll be a further adventure of – because that's how they do it. You know what I mean? They kind of don't really double do a thing, so except for Obi-Wan, which did a lot of the things that the game did.
Correct, yes.
But no, I think he's great. And, you know, we follow each other on Twitter, so I could message him and be like, tell me if this is true. Tell me the truth. But I wouldn't dare put him in such a predicament, Mason. But I hope this is true. because those games are great. Well, actually, the first one's great, and the new one's coming out next year. Is that right?
We cannot say.
We cannot say, and we could
ask
him. Say.
You could ask your friend Cameron Mike. You could
tell me where that game is. Give me a copy now.
Give me a copy.
This is why you don't follow people, because they message you these things. I'm the reason.
Yeah.
You know when you do that, follow somebody and then they send you a weird message, you're like, ugh, have you ever had that happen to you?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Anyways.
Name names, Jeff. Tell me who they followed you and then they send you a weird message, Jeff.
Actually, well, that hasn't happened to me in a little long time, I should say. So I've recently been talking to you over DMs. I'm just thinking if someone's listening to this and be like, is that me? It's not you. If you're self-aware enough to be like, is that me? It's definitely not
you. Okay, right.
Yeah.
If you're like, that couldn't be me. It's you.
It's you. Great, Mason. Do you like Game of Thrones?
No.
Great. So this is via George R. R. Martin's blog.
Oh.
So here we go. They asked him, this is about the, they didn't ask him. He told us about his involvement in what's coming up.
Mm.
He said for the Jon Snow show, he said, I am involved, just as I am with the Game of Thrones prequel in the works, the Hedge Knight and the Sea Snake and the 10,000 Ships and all the animated shows.
He's just saying things at random now, I think. Oh, 10.
And the duck gun.
He says 10.
And the boat with legs.
Oh, there's 10 ships. And people are like, not very impressive. 10,000 ships.
And the Mead Fields.
Mead Fields.
And the Dragon's Breath next, brother. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, same.
It's a prequel, obviously.
Yeah.
So Kit's team have visited me in Santa Fe and worked with me and my own team of brilliant, talented writer consultants to hammer out the show. This man will do literally anything to not write a book.
Absolutely.
Just the it's that night before kind of something's due and you're like, maybe I'll clean the house. Maybe I'll put some washing on.
You know what? And it's probably also the equivalent of like when you make you're going to meet a friend or something and you're like, I actually don't want to leave the house today. Oh, I don't want to leave the house today. I don't want to leave the house. Maybe I could come up with an excuse. Maybe I could say I'm sick. And then you get a text. It's like, oh, sir, I'm sick. I can't make it. And you're like, yes.
Yes,
it's that. He's like, yeah. I got to announce the book. When's the book? Oh, another project.
Excellent. Jon Snow. I'm involved in that.
I'm involved. I'm 100%.
They came to me, actually. Yeah. I didn't ring them desperately asking to be involved. Anyways, I'm sorry if you love those books. You're never going to read them.
Yep.
When was the last one? 2011 or something?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, great. Good stuff. Do you think it's this is Marvel Corner, Mason.
Oh, yeah.
Two mates.
Is this new? Have we always had Marvel Corner?
Two popular, well-known actors who got a really big paycheck, which then cut the budget of the entire project for this Netflix movie that isn't very good.
You're going to have to narrow it down.
I'm just doing a poster. I'm still workshopping it.
Okay, right.
There's something there, Mason.
Yeah, there sure is. Yeah.
Two famous guys, boring movie. Well, something like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Both holding guns.
Mm.
Yeah. One's wearing a hat.
One guy. He's also in Marvel movies, and there's a poster, and it's another Amazon show that he's on. And there's two people wearing baseball caps, and one person not wearing a baseball cap, and it's got a really vague name.
Yeah, one of them sort of.
It's a Chris Pratt show.
The Chris Pratt show, or whatever. One of them's sort of like wearing a Hawaiian shirt with a singlet underneath, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Max Payne 4, like that kind of look.
One guy's all tactical.
One guy's tactical.
Hang on, I'll find it.
Might be Jamie Foxx.
Nice.
But not always.
It's called The Terminal List.
Yes, I haven't watched The Terminal.
It's not out yet, I don't think.
Well, that's probably why I haven't watched it.
Well, it's based on soon to be a TV series from, it's a novel by Jack Carr. If you like Vince Flynn, you'll love this.
I don't know.
That's what the poster says.
What's Vince Flynn?
I don't know if, oh my God, this, oh, everything about this I love. If you just Google The Terminal List, it comes up. It's one of the first results. I guess it's the cover for the book.
Yep.
But it's impossible to tell who wrote this or who's in it because they all have action movie sounding names. So the author's name is Jack Carr.
Yeah. So that's not the name of the book.
And if you like Vince Flynn, you'll love this. But is Vince Flynn a character or is he also an author?
Yeah.
But then it says.
Also, is that like Jack Carr as in like the hero's name? Jack Carr in The Terminal List.
No, Jack Carr I think is the author's name. I don't know what the character's name is. But then there's a pull quote. It says, so powerful, so pulse-pounding, so well-written, rarely do you read a debut novel this damn good. And that's from Brad Thor. And he's a number one New York Times bestselling author. So they're all getting into this.
That we know.
Yeah, like that guy, Brad Thor.
The only person on the book who it's clear who they are. Yeah.
Okay. And this guy, he's sort of standing moodily. He's got a big coat on. He's running down some Why, they might be tram tracks.
Wow.
Right? Maybe he's in Europe.
You want to keep him vague on the cover so then you can change the cover for when the Chris Pratt show comes out.
Based on
the series that you didn't like very much. Based on the series your dad recommended to you.
Brad Thor's loving it.
Anyway, I could never write a book or make a show, so I don't know why I'm making fun of these people.
Because we can.
Because we can. All right, let's move it along. It's Marvel Corner, Mason.
Oh, Jai Courtney's in it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, right. So Marvel's Multiverse of Madness is now streaming. There's a dog at the goddamn door.
Definitely. Ollie. Hello, Ollie.
This is Chaos Week, Mason. Oh, she had a bath.
Oh, that's why you don't stink as badly.
Mm.
You still stink a bit.
I like to think that I still stink.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Again, she's running away.
Right, Ollie, you got to go out.
Hello.
Ollie, I have to go away for the weekend. So oh, you have to record the podcast.
You're so fragrant, Ollie. Bye, Ollie. Look, now I'm a dog.
Oh, you're covered in dog hair now because it's a wet dog. You idiot, Mason. Anyways, so it's streaming. I didn't know it was streaming so soon, but it's out if you wanted to watch it on Disney Plus for free, Mason.
I've already forgotten what we're
Multiverse
talking
about. Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, it is too. Yeah, I looked that up and I'm like, oh, this is probably going to be $24.99 or whatever, but it's free.
It's free. Mm. You don't need to cost you any money.
No cost you any money.
So there's been some behind-the-scenes stuff that has been put up, including, like, blooper reels and whatever. Uh-huh. But the thing that stuck out to me was that Black Bolt suit is entirely CGI.
It is. Anson Mount was wearing the dot suit.
I guess it's cheaper and easier to hide if you don't have to spend months, like, designing and fitting a suit.
Yeah.
And then he has to be a certain shape and you can't lose or gain weight.
Yeah.
Because it looks very form-fitting. And looking back at it in that mask, it's so snug to his head that it's kind of obvious now that it would have to be CGI.
And it's sort of invariable that he would step out for a minute to have a bloody smoker at the back of the studio or whatever and somebody snaps a photo and then it's being spoiled. That's interesting. But what is also interesting as well, I don't know if this is in the
second bit of news.
Well, it's not a second bit of news, but I think it's interesting that in addition to that, there was a lot of practical makeup effects. And the guy, I don't have the name here, it's like Brad something or other, but I'll find
He's done like, he did like the Green Knight.
Yeah,
and
he
a
did
bunch
Vecna.
Of,
he's done he Vecna, Vecna and Stranger Things.
You watch that yet?
No, not yet.
You should watch it because the season finale is coming up and we should probably cover it, I guess. Yeah.
Very good. Mm-hmm. He did that. He did the Green Knight. He did all the horrible zombie makeup for Zombie Strange.
Yeah.
He's killing it, that guy.
Do you like him?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I have to say.
Same.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go to Twitter and look up Brad Makeup and see if it comes up.
Brad Makeup. No. You might be getting into the YouTube makeup sphere.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's just people screaming at each other, just being real catty to each other, Mason.
Hey, what's up? It's your boy Brad Makeup.
This is a video. I'm trying to cancel another makeup guy. They do that. It's mostly try to cancel each other, and they're all awful. And that's what I love about it. You know what else I love, Mason?
What do you love?
I love that we did a Thor Ragnarok commentary. It's now live at bigsandwich.co, leading up to the new movie, obviously. So if you do it, it's like our private Patreon, if you don't know. There's a huge back catalogue of other stuff. If you are interested, we're also starting Thor for Caravan and Garbage this week on Tuesday. But the Thor Love and Thunder reactions are in, Mason.
Oh, they just Barry Gower is the
Barry Gower.
He did Vecna. He did the Green Knight's Green Knight, that wacky Green Knight. He did the zombie makeup for Zombie Strange, and he did the Night King, Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, he did too. Yeah. Those are all excellent. Loves. Yeah, fantastic stuff.
Yes.
Anyway, the reactions for the most part, Mason, very positive. You know, things like this is the best Marvel's ever done. I laughed till I cried, and then I cried because of a different moment when there was a big emotion.
Love emotion.
So obviously,
in fact, love itself is an emotion. I think.
Yes, I've seen some people say maybe it's too funny. Like it tries to lean into the humor too much.
Well, nobody wants that. Nobody likes to laugh.
I hate humor. I hate laughter. I hate fun. And I hate friends. Show's over. I just realized I don't know why I do any of this.
No. But fair.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're going to see it regardless. But obviously, early days. I mean, like, very, very positive word of mouth is good.
Mm-hmm,
but we'll see.
Yes.
You know?
Cold, hard reality
there's
and
so
observation.
Much, there's so much free hot bread.
Yeah, that's true. Events. Yeah, you can't trust people once they're full of bread, you know what
I mean? Yeah, exactly. Go on a Friday night, your local terrible cinema plex, and see how much you like it then with screaming kids and
barely any bread.
Kicking the back of your chair, exactly. Drop your popcorn all over yourself. And then you go to pick it up, you tip your drink into your lap.
And you're sitting there and some teen is like, hey, nice popcorn. And you're like, but you also have popcorn. And they're like, and you're like, oh, he's cut me to the core, this kid. Oh, no. How do they do it? Ah.
How do they do it?
I don't know.
So that's fun. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. A lot of it was also filmed on like green screen in the volume because it was filmed like right in lockdown.
Yeah.
So I've seen some like, you know, some scenes have been released online this week and some of it looks pretty ropey.
Sure
but,
does.
You know, then again, it's different and whatever and when there's not all the compression yeah. for...
What is it, would you say it's The Mandalorian that is considered generally to be like the best use of the volume?
Yeah, I think so.
I think, I believe it might be the cinematographer who's responsible for that. And
absolutely.
And who's decide, and it's, I guess it's like any emerging technology where the first people to use it are go, okay, well the best things we can film on this are like, sort of approaching twilight time, you know,
yeah.
and, you know, just sort of the near dark kind of look. That's how it looks the best.
Mm.
And they've gone, okay, well, let's do a lot of scenes in this show that are sort of around that time.
Or let's like, stack up a bunch of crates as well.
Let's stack up some crates. Crates yeah. look great in the volume.
Mm.
But then later people are like, well, we could do any time of day with this. And it's like, can you?
Yeah. I think there's some really clever uses of any time of day. One of my favorite ones is when they're in Boba Fett's ship in season two of The Mandalorian. Uh-huh. And you know how it does that? Like it tilts up, it flies uh-huh. like vertical. And you see that from the inside and the whole wall is kind of like rolling up behind them. We also saw in the Book of Boba Fett where, and I think this is the volume, where the Mandalorian episodes where he's walking down that street and he steps into the elevator.
Oh, yeah.
And then he like goes to a different level and it's all like one shot. I'm pretty sure that's all the volume
as
well.
Yeah, there you go, right.
So it can be done.
And I mean also.
You just need to think about it.
And also, well, but also I think Twitter is very good at picking the absolute worst frame of anything and going, "That's this. The whole movie is going to be like this. This is terrible. I mean, I hate it. I hate everything.
I'll kill you. Yeah. And so on. Great. Mason, this is by Games Radar. Radar? Games Radar.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't know you meant Games Radar.
Yeah. Games Radar, for anyone paying attention. You know I'm an idiot. You don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying Games Radar. This is by Kevin Feige. He says, and as we're nearing the end of phase four.
I think he's named after that minion.
Oh, he might be. Feige. Right.
Yeah, Feige. the time's worked, you know.
Yeah, it makes, time lines
makes
up,
a lot of sense.
It?
Yeah.
As we're nearing the end of phase four, I was about to say, are we?
Yeah, didn't phase four just get started?
Yeah.
Or it hasn't started?
But then again, there's been a million shows also.
There's been a million shows. Maybe this was the phase of shows.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think people will start to see where the next saga is going. I think there have been many clues already that are at least apparent to me of where the whole saga is going, but will be a little more direct. Funny if it was like, where do you think the saga is going?
It sounds like he's fishing. Old fishing Feige here is like, I think if you look really closely at all the stuff in the background and look at all the corners and stuff, I think if you screenshot like a background and you can draw some lines, I reckon you could pretty confidently say where this one's going.
You could even send any ideas that you might have to my email.
I mean, because some people say we couldn't top the whole, you know, the Infinity Saga and it was just a whole thing and the whole real quest for all the stones and stuff. But I think if you look real hard, you could probably find something that's way better than that. And I know what it is, but maybe you could tell. I'm not going to do a competition where you should guess what it is.
No prizes.
You can have one of my hats.
We'll be a little bit more direct about that in the coming months to set a plan so audiences who want to see the bigger picture can see a tiny, tiny, tiny bit more of the roadmap. I still think it's big battle planet dimension time.
Mm,
Someone called?
Secret Wars.
Secret Wars. Yeah. I think they're doing that.
Could be Secret Wars, yeah.
It is Secret Wars, Mason. Mm. They're doing all the multidimensional stuff. They've introduced variants and all sorts of shit. TV and movies, it's...
Do you think they're saving some... Anytime, you know, there is a Multiverse of Madness or there is a, you know, Spider-Man No Way Home or what have you, some people are like, what about this guy? Why isn't he in it?
Yeah.
Do you think they're saving some of those guys?
I think so,
Wars? Do you think we're going to get, like, 1970s Nicholas Hammond
Spider-Man?
In Secret Wars and he's like, I don't know what's happening here.
My powers have dwindled dramatically. Mm. Don't make me do this. Don't make me fight Tobey Maguire.
My acting powers. I've never had to act against this much green screen ever.
That's probably true.
Please don't make me do this.
Yeah. It would be weird if they were just like, I don't know, it's Moreland, the bad guy's Moreland or whatever. Yeah, just like somebody completely irrelevant.
Moreland City Council.
It's Age of Ultron again. Ultron's back.
Yeah.
All that dimensional stuff was a red herring. Anyways, great stuff, Mason.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Do you know what else I think might be great stuff? Let's talk about the Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
No spoilers, Mason, okay. For season 3. So you got really upset then. You were like, ugh. But you haven't even finished it.
I haven't finished it.
How far are you in?
Couple episodes.
What do you think the story was?
Oh, okay.
By the way.
There's a lot of build up for this, isn't there?
Poor recap. Really vague on the.
Oh, but there's so much to it. That's the, you mean on Netflix when it goes previously.
It's like,
on.
It's well, like I had two this, seasons this and this. To cover. I'm like, what the fuck is I don't.
There's so much to cover. Okay, so how far do we want to go back? Okay, so the Umbrella Academy is about one particular day in the late 80s, a bunch of women spontaneously became pregnant and gave birth to children.
Yep.
And there was this guy called Arthur Hargraves?
Mr. Hargraves,
who was a sort of eccentric adventurer scientist. And by eccentric, I mean awful.
Yeah.
And he attempted.
We can spoil previous seasons, right?
I think so, right.
He's an alien.
Yes, and he acquired as many of these children as he could, seven children, and they all developed weird superpowers, and he sort of turned them into a superhero team, and then he died. Oh, one of the team members died, and then the team broke up, and they're a family that didn't always get along,
yeah.
And then they reconvened at his funeral at the start of season one. And then in seasons prior to this, they've done all sorts of weird, crazy stuff involving time and dimension travel. They were trapped in the 60s for a while. Maybe one of them killed JFK. Yeah. Or maybe that's just the comic books.
They averted two different apocalypses that are linked,
yes.
I think.
And then at the end of the last season, they came back to the present day only to discover that the Umbrella Academy never existed. And instead, Hargraves acquired different children and started the Sparrow Academy. So now it's the Sparrow Academy versus the Umbrella Academy. And how's that gonna work out?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And the Sparrow Academy are basically, so all the children that were born on this day spontaneously, so people who weren't pregnant suddenly became pregnant and then gave birth. He saw the Umbrella Academy in the past and decided.
They went to him for help in the 60s.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, these guys suck. Classic Hargraves, instead of being like, maybe it's because I raised them really badly, he's like, oh, no, it's probably because I just didn't purchase the correct children.
Yes.
And so he got
– well, the
he
other
still
ones.
Got – yeah, he got – so how many – so the scroll the opening narration suggests there were 16 children born on that day.
Mm.
How many has there been? Because
there's
there's the original seven.
Yeah.
But then the new team – has Ben on it.
Yes,
so
who was also in the original
team. So that's 13.
Yeah.
Right?
So there's
7 and 6.
Super strong guy, Crow's woman with magnetic lifty-uppy powers.
Guy who can redirect force.
Yep, a box.
A floating box and hallucinogenic spitting woman.
Yeah, so that's 6. So
did
yeah, 13.
Ben?
I said, yeah.
Okay, so that means there's 3 left. Have we seen them?
I don't
Were they in previous
think so.
Seasons?
No, not to my
Interesting.
Knowledge.
Interesting.
Yeah. That might come into play, unless we've missed some.
We've definitely missed some.
Yeah.
Because, again, there was so – like that recap, there was so much going on in that.
Yes, yeah, it was not helpful at all.
I mean, it was helpful in the sense that it I feel it – I don't know. I felt it gets you back into the vibe of the show.
Oh, that's sure. Which is just insanity. I mean, if you're going for vibes, sure. Yeah. I mean, you could have just spun a big wheel with some colors on it if you wanted a vibe. Yeah. But anyway, I still think the show is a lot of fun.
I went back again, I only had time to watch two, but this is maybe one. This is indisputably one of my favorite superhero properties.
Yeah, right.
Like in terms of movie or TV. I don't know if it's my absolute favorite, but it is easily up there with some of the best. It's just a fun dynamic. All the cast are really fun.
Yeah.
They work well together. I saw a video this week. It was like, Variety or BuzzFeed or something like that, where a bunch of the cast got together and did a quiz together, and they clearly enjoy spending time together and that sort of stuff. So, and I think that comes through on the show.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I think you're not wrong in that sense. I also think that this season takes too long to get going on what the thing is.
Oh,
and when it does, I'm like, oh, I like this. This is all good. And not to say that I didn't enjoy it up to you figure out what is happening, because the real appeal of this show for me is all the different people in it.
It's got that real appeal.
It's got that real appeal. And by the way, I like, a lot of shows on Netflix don't look like this anymore. They don't make stuff like this anymore.
Because it looks like something.
Because it looks like something and it costs a lot of money. And I think the only reason they still make things like this is because they'd already made previous seasons.
Wouldn't stop them from canceling this one.
No, so. I would genuinely be surprised if they continue this. Mm. They should, because it's good. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a good chance that this is it, unfortunately.
Okay, well, without spoiling anything.
No, it would not be a satisfying conclusion.
Right.
I'm guessing. I don't know. It would all be down to their metrics and whatever that looks like. And we're not privy to any of that information.
I mean, we're not privy to that information, but we are privy to everything Netflix has done in the last few years.
Yes.
So, yeah, I I'm a huge fan of the cast. Like you said, the look is incredible. Mm. You know, they're living in a weird hotel now, like a weird kind of,
John Wick hotel, sort of.
Sort of a very ornate John Wick hotel.
Yeah.
And what I love about the show, I think, is that it has become more or less unmoored from the comic book adaptation or the comic book version of it, the original version.
Yeah.
So it can kind of go anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, I don't know, because it's Gerard Way and Gabriel Barr created it originally, and I don't know if they're actively making it different from the comic books or if they've just said to the production team, you can change it if you want.
Mm.
But, like, regardless, I enjoy the fact that I don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
And it's not, the difference between this and, like, a Marvel show is that I know – a Marvel show or a Marvel movie is that there will be surprises along the way for a Marvel thing. But you go, okay, well, I know that this guy's going to – eventually this character is going to develop into this or,
I know how many movies this person has left.
Yes, exactly.
I know who will or will not do a TV show.
Exactly. I know Steve Rogers is going to pass the torch over to the Falcon and that's going to be a thing. And so it is – a lot of the time it is kind of, it's a little bit paint by numbers in that sense. Mm. But this – and also the fact that there is limited Umbrella Academy comic books, and the last time I read them was so long ago that I have also forgotten.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I like the fact that anybody in this can die and we don't know. Can the world end, when
will you meet a different version of yourself and whatever, or a different version of somebody else, it seems, yeah. One thing I think they handled very well, and this is not my experience, so maybe they handled it very poorly.
Maybe.
Well, it was Elliot Page's transition.
Yes.
Because at the start you see that it's Vanya, and then very quickly they kind of, and maybe it's a bit of a speedy transition, but it's also TV,
So yeah,
it's
right,
kind of, I'd imagine you'd want to kind of move it along.
And I also think they wanted to show us, the audience, and also they wanted to show the characters coming into the conclusion that it's not a big deal for them. They want to, because the Victor shows up in a scene with the rest of the family and has cut his hair and says, oh, I'm Victor. I've always been Victor, but it's taken me a long time to realize it, et cetera. And they're like, that's great, but also you're a dumbass because you did this thing earlier. So they're just like, you know, we're a family and we accept that, but now let's move on with the overarching plot. And there was a little bit of, you know, like dramatic strings and...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I'd imagine they went to Elliot Page and was like, how do you want to handle any of this, you know?
And he said awkwardly, as awkwardly as you can.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
But I think, yeah, I think the main purpose of it was the family was just like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's kind of like that's
not the weirdest thing that's happened in this family, quite frankly. Well,
that's also true.
I'm a gorilla man. I don't know if you know.
Yeah. So, no, I thought that was handled, you know, really well. You're not up to it yet, but there's a bunch of like fantastic use of music in it. And one of them is a Cats in the Cradle. There's the song Cats in the Cradle is played by Cat Stevens, with a death montage happening at the same time, which it's very funny. You'll enjoy it.
I love a death montage.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah. And on top of that, there's a few characters that appear down the line that I don't want to, I guess I don't want to spoil.
Captain America?
Captain America.
Chris Evans? He's looking at his iPhone 6.
And he goes,
like,
what the heck? What the heck am I doing in this show or whatever? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll just say, okay, so the monkey reappears later down the line.
Well, he's in the trailer.
Yes. And okay, good. And also chimpanzee. But my God, that I cannot get over how good that chimpanzee looks for a TV show. It doesn't make any sense.
Agreed.
And he's got like a different look. He's got like a biker vest and like tattoos and all that.
Nice.
Yeah, it's terrific. I guess my concern is also for this show, how many times – it's also been apparently like 28 days since the beginning of the show, like in-universe.
So this is like I feel like the TV series 24.
Yeah.
My personal –
how many times can you do a 24?
Well, yeah, my personal headcanon is that every series takes place on a subsequent day.
Yeah.
So it's just been 13 days of him going like, oh, geez, I got another 24 days to save the world, do I?
Oh, my heart stopped. Remember that season my heart stopped? Remember that season his heart stopped?
Yeah. But I mean yesterday, that's when my heart stopped.
So I don't know how long they're going to be like, it's the end of the world again.
Mm.
Yeah, and it seems like as if that's kind of the direction it's going to, you know, still be going in the future. I think if they do any more seasons, I think it's just going to be one. I think I think that will be it. There's also some romance in it, which I really enjoy.
I also wonder if they're going to maybe. Do you think? I wonder if every time this happens, I always wonder: does the studio who make this, can they extricate themselves from Netflix and put it on something else?
I mean, I don't know why you would, because it's expensive, and I don't know whether that would get people to your streaming.
That's
platform.
True. Yeah,
I think the days of that are mostly over. Remember when Community went to Yahoo?
Yeah,
and Netflix were making Arrested Development for a bit.
That's right. And then like, oh, and it went to Ask Jeeves.
Yeah.
Had to go to AskJeeves.com for Arrested Development.
I mean, it's possible, but I think we're kind of past that period of bringing back stuff because it doesn't work for metrics. Yeah. I think. I might be wrong.
Boo. Boo. I think boo.
Klaus is great, though, also.
Oh, yeah, he's your fan.
I think, oh, maybe.
He's from Misfits originally, right?
Yeah, I've never seen Misfits.
I mean, other things.
But he's he's in that Britain's on Wheels, the movie. Remember the one where about London's a big city and
the post-apocalyptic one. I just pictured a really, really boring movie about like logistical stuff in modern day London. Britain's on Wheels. People getting on the bus.
Yeah.
Going to
Britain's on Wheels. Wow.
That is good stuff.
Thank you. Look, without going any further into any of the spoilers, I think if you've enjoyed the series, or maybe if you haven't seen the series as of yet, I think it's really good.
And yeah, I definitely...
If you love a weird hotel and a weird lobby...
Look, and maybe, you know, or if you're approaching... I think if you're approaching superhero burnout, which I know a lot of people are, this is a breath of fresh air, I think.
And maybe give The Boys a go.
Yeah, sure. That's right.
We haven't watched the latest episode.
No,
I'll talk about it briefly in What We're Reading.
Okay, terrific.
But yeah. Mm. Right. Great.
That's not the final episode of the season, though.
No, there is at least another episode.
Whoa.
What are they up to? 4 or 5? I actually don't know.
5 or 6.
Great. Oh, just quickly on the Umbrella Academy as well.
Go on.
What I think was also good about the Victor situation.
Did you find another note?
This is just something off the top of my head.
Off the top of the dome.
That it was just, Victor just wants to exist as a person and be treated normally. Not, you know what I mean? Just be like, hey, I'm a normal person. And could we just get on with it? Mm. Yeah. And I think that's reflective of a lot of people who are just like, why don't be mean for no reason.
That's right.
I just want to exist, you know?
As opposed to us who are like, look at us.
Look at us all the time. We've got a big podcast.
Who else can say that? Who's among us?
A lot of people.
Yeah, oh, hundreds of thousands of people.
All right, should we move on to the next segment of the show?
Yes.
If there was somebody here that could tell me what the next segment of the show is, anybody at all, that would actually really help me move things along.
Hang on, I'll just have a look around.
Okay. He's actually pantomiming at everybody. He's doing a big look around. Oh, he's pulling up the carpet to have a look under there.
Got my big magnifying glass out.
I'll just play whatever this theme song is.
So it's what we read and what we're going to read.
It is, actually. I'm doing the theme. Westworld? I don't know if you know this, Mason. Just
new season of Westworld's coming out very soon.
It's coming out soon, isn't it?
You seen any of the trailers?
Yeah. Looks good.
Looks great.
Yeah, I've always liked that show.
Some people say diminishing returns.
Who said that?
Us, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
Like the last season I didn't love, but I think it's going to be back on track for this new one.
All right.
I reckon.
All right.
I don't know if it's the final season, but...
We'll find out.
We'll find out, won't we?
Anyways, it was the famous Herogasm episode.
Yeah.
From The Boys.
Now, this was sort of... This was one of those concepts from the original The Boys comic book that a lot of people said, oh, they'll never do this or they shouldn't do this.
Maybe.
And the producers of this show said, we're going to save this for season three.
Yeah.
We're going to settle people in with some normal head exploding or people going to other people's orifices or what have you.
Yeah.
And then we'll hit them with this. So, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
How is it?
Well, maybe I'm just desensitized to The Boys, but I wasn't, and knowing that it was coming, I wasn't that shocked by...
You spent so much time with The Boys.
Exactly.
Boys.
Yeah. We talk...
So this is no weirder than any night out you've spent with The Boys.
There's more, maybe. There's more of the kind of stuff, like the gross out stuff and the nudity and the gore than you maybe typically get in an episode like Condensed.
Okay.
But my favorite part of the episode is after... I'm not going to say who is it for you or whatever, but there's a big fight.
Whoa.
And it's a really good fight. And I'm like, oh, I love this. Oh, a big fight. And it feels earned.
Okay.
And it's not just every week where.
Oh, it's Huey fighting his dad.
Huey's fighting his dad.
Punching his dad. Yeah.
Stop calling me on my phone. Stop doing a FaceTime. Just do a regular call like a regular person. But they had to do it because it's Simon Pegg. And
you
want to see that it's Simon Pegg, don't you? Mm. But no, if you're a fan of The Boys, I am also enjoying that. There are subreddits flipping out because they're like, Homelander's the bad guy. It's like, yeah, he's the bad guy.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because they're like, because, you know, a lot of The Boys is making fun of like capitalism and corporation and certain factors of right-wing culture.
Yeah, sure.
And there's some people
What turned them around? Like what specifically about – is it that
– I think some of the creators have even come out and been like, yeah, he's Trump.
Right, but like what specifically about this season has made people realize that? Like if you didn't realize it two episodes into the first season, what is it that
I think because they've been saying, no, he's Trump.
Oh, like it's not Homelander an in-show thing.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because in the most recent one, he
fell in love with a Nazi.
I mean, he did do that, but I mean, surely they should have picked up on that.
That's what's baffling to me, yes.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, I would love to hear some more discourse on this.
I don't want to hear anything.
No, that's – I made a bold statement there, but I don't believe in it.
What else are you getting into?
Well, I mentioned this to you earlier in the week, but I've watched a couple of episodes of a series that it's fascinating in that it exists and I only heard about it because Rob Delaney has a small role in it.
Okay.
And – he tweeted about it,
mm.
And prior to this, I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, oh, that's the thing, is it? Which is what, there's so much stuff out there.
That just happened.
Yeah. So I watched two episodes of The Man Who Fell to Earth.
Oh, you did talk about this. Yeah.
It's on, in Australia, it's on Amazon. I think it might maybe through
Power. Do you love it?
It's pretty good.
It's about Trump, Mason.
Oh, no. That means all of Trump.
Sorry.
So... In the 70s, David Bowie was in a movie called The Man Who Fell to Earth.
I'm David Bowie.
Exactly. That's every line. I've seen it, but it's not really for me. It's like meandering in a way that like.
70s sci-fi was before 70, Star Wars?
Yeah, 70s sci-fi was before Star Wars. Well, it's 78, so it might have been.
Okay.
I think 78.
Well, it was
like
already
that.
In production.
Yeah,
before,
it would have been already in production, yeah. But he plays an alien in human form. He comes to Earth. He needs to sort of. Become a big-time businessman to acquire all the resources he needs to build a spaceship to take it back to his home planet and save his species.
Sick.
And then a lot of meandering. But then at the end of the movie, he ends up like an alcoholic and like really depressed. And the world and humanity has kind of ruined him. And this isn't a remake of that. It's a sequel to that.
I love that.
Well, it's
legacy sequel.
It's wild that, but it's wild that because like I don't, I'm. It's not like a movie that people are like. Oh my god, you certainly must see that. But it's like it's very significant, and Bowie didn't do that many movies.
Yeah,
and like I, it was significant to him because there's some stills from that movie. I think one of his album covers is a still from that movie. Okay. But it's interesting that this came out with no fanfare at all. So it's a sequel. And it's got Chiwetel Ejiofor. It's
Love
got
it.
Naomi Harris from the Bond movies.
Yeah.
And Chiwetel Ejiofor plays a different alien who's come to Earth.
I'm David Bowie, he says.
He says that. That's what? His only
That's the
line.
Thing that he says as well.
And Bill Nye plays David Bowie's character from the original.
Bill Nye? Oh, I was thinking the science guy? Or
no,
Bill Nighy?
Bill. Apparently, Bill Nighy pronounces his name Bill Nye.
Well, too bad, because there's already a
Bill
Nye.
There's a Bill Nye, so he has to be Bill Nighy.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and it's wild to me that there's so much stuff out there that just out. And there's like 10 episodes. And
it's somebody's favorite show.
Yeah.
Like you, maybe.
I don't know yet.
He doesn't know everybody. Mm. Look, I'd love to talk more about shows.
Go
but
on.
Do you think maybe we should go to the next segment?
I mean,
of the
we
show?
Have all the time in the world. We could talk about more shows, James.
Look, you know, okay, fine. I'll quickly talk about this. FD Signify has a new video on the Manosphere.
What's the Manosphere?
It's basically, you know, it's that pull yourself up by your bootstraps, crypto bros, self help, but it's just people spewing fucking poison to like young men in particular.
And you love that.
Yeah, that's what I love about it. That's what I'm saying. And he makes incredible videos. This is his second video on the Manosphere. And it's like, you know, all those, you know, like Gary Vee and like Jordan Petersons and whatever. Mm. And I know they're all not about the same thing necessarily, but it's mostly just broken men spewing bile at impressionable people.
And we're broken men spewing nonsense, which is different and good.
And bile.
A little bit of bile.
Anyways, if I've had said any of those names and you're like, actually, I like those people, I think maybe you should watch this video.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, go on, Mason.
Oh, it's time for letters, I think.
Yes.
Let's do some letters.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you, some letters.
We get some rhythm going in the show, aren't we? It's like the movie Whiplash in here.
It's like the movie Whiplash, but we would do that and J.K. Simmons' character would say, that is perfect tempo.
That is perfect
You've
tempo.
You've done it.
Exactly.
I have no notes, he would say. Because how good that was.
Can you imagine a mashup movie? Where it's Whiplash,
go on.
But it's J.K. Simmons teaching the character of Whiplash from Iron Man 2 how to play the drums, and
Whoa.
He keeps using his big whiplashes.
His big whiplashes.
And he's like, you keep whiplashing the drum kits.
You're destroying them with some sort of energy.
Do you think that
that's
would be...
not my tempo, he would say.
Do you think that's anything? Is it at the very least a fun poster?
are you trying to start a second career as something? I don't know what it is. An Imagineer. That's what you are. You
for the Weekly Planet posters, yes.
Right. It seems like more work than is strictly necessary.
I'm not saying it has to be, but I'm saying can you imagine it as a poster?
I can imagine it, yes.
In the
it letter- is not unimaginable to me, James.
In the letter segment of the show.
Because I am an Imagineer.
That's true. You can send a Gmail to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com to Mason or a tweet to me at hashtag Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter.
Sure.
Let's
can.
Go, bro.
This is from Anne.
Hello, Anne.
She says, shout out for my fiance.
Whoa.
Hi, guys. I was a terrible fiance this year. I bought him birthday presents and completely forgot the one thing he wanted for you to give him a shout out on your show. Could you please help me make it up to him by giving him a shout out? His name is Mike Parsons and we are from Dallas.
I would like to know what the presents were so we can compare whether what we're doing now is better than the presents. Because what if you got a good super soaker? Like one of a really good water pistol.
Yeah.
How sick would that be? And that would be better than this.
Especially in Dallas. It's very hot in Dallas.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And you could fill it with cat piss and hit like somebody you don't like with it. That's a gift, mate.
That's
This is not a gift.
Yeah, that's very true.
Anyway, happy birthday.
It doesn't say happy birthday.
Oh, what's the shout out for then?
Just a shout out.
Well, what's the presents for?
Oh.
Guess he said got him what he really wanted.
Oh, that's a good point. No, that is true.
Mm.
Well, I don't know.
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out.
Vague shout out.
Vague shout out. But let's make
congratulations.
It a congratulations on birthdays and engagements and so forth. She says, I started listening to you guys because Mike would put the episodes on while we cook.
Nice.
I have to admit, I was skeptical at first.
Right, rightfully
but
so.
But we're hilarious. Ooh.
Her and Mike.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that's great. Anyway, much love from Dallas.
Thank you very much. This is from Lockie Quirk, who says.
That's a great name.
I agree.
I mean, Anne's name is also great, but.
I mean, Lockie Quirks is on Twitter, so I don't know if this is.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think Disney will remake the OG trilogy of Star Wars, that is, in 10 years or so? with the new cast from Mr. Kenobi. New Luke and Leia bring back Ewan McGregor and even Alden Ehrenreich for the remake. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Now, they shouldn't do this.
Correct,
but
yes.
I'll be lying if I said I wouldn't love an attempt just to see everything around it unfold.
Yeah, okay. Oh, just the real world production of that. Okay.
And what does that look like?
It wouldn't shock me. I don't think they would dare remake the original trilogy. Yeah, I think it would probably be more likely that they would, if they're going to release anything, I think they'd re-release the original trilogy, like the unaltered trilogy.
Yes.
They'd build up to it. Maybe that would be the big build-up.
Yeah. But
what I think they might do is they might get those actors, if they're still acting in 10 years, and do like Luke and Leia's Little Adventures.
Luke and Leia do a Little Adventure?
Not together, adventure. Probably separately.
Yeah.
And just, or one or the other.
Yeah.
And just be like, Luke's at Little Adventures on Tatooine or what have you.
Mm. He found all of Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru's guns.
That's right.
And he's run into the sand dunes to kill some Ewoks or whatever.
Oh, no. No one's told him there are no Ewoks on this planet. He read about them in a book.
A holo book. Yeah, that's right.
The book was holo because it's got a gun in it. Aunt Beru's put all kinds of guns everywhere.
We did Kenobi review, by the way,
that's
for the last episode.
That's why Luke had to go into town to get some more power converters, because all the other ones on the farm were filled with guns.
Great stuff. Yeah, I don't think it's the end of Ewan McGregor or even Alden Ehrenreich. I think, you know, these people will probably appear, and probably not the remake. But again, love to see it. What else, Mason?
Let's see here, James. Let's just see here. Well, according to John Diemoa, we've won a John Diemoa.
Have we?
So that's good. We should collect that John Diemoa.
Mm. Didn't they do the big labor union strikes and all those things? And people wanted more money? And then eventually they made them get more money?
I don't think John Deere did that.
Mm.
He's probably been dead for a couple of decades.
A deer got him.
Correct, yes.
That's great. Imagine being eaten by a deer. Crazy. Go on, Mason.
Okay, let's have a look here.
I can go while you're waiting.
Please do.
It's from Ian Cook, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Hi, I recall James saying the Voltron one is his first memorable TV show. That's true, and it's not very good. The first one, that is, the remake, is incredible. Astro Boy was one of mine. Any idea why there hasn't been more Astro Boy content? Was it not as good as I remember? He has a laser in his butt. It's more of a machine gun. But that is true. You used to have an Astro Boy kind of like carrying thing, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, it had like a little holographic Astro Boy thing on it. It was like a case.
Nope.
I remember this.
I don't think that's true.
You did, Mason.
One of us did.
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyways, I like Astro Boy. There was Astro Boy movie a few years ago. They did an animated movie.
Oh, yeah.
Nicolas Cage was the doctor, I think, or whatever. Astro Boy's dark as well.
Yeah.
But why hasn't there been more Astro Boy?
That is a great point. He probably doesn't test well for some reason.
Mm.
But you'd think he would.
Yeah.
Because he's got the big eyes and the laser in his bum or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. All of those things.
And lasers in his fingers. It's all lasers.
It was also like he did a lot of early proto-anime stuff. So like Astro Boy became, there's so many other things that have since then.
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's just maybe the test bed was the animated thing and they went, oh, people didn't watch this, so they don't like him for some reason.
Also, he's brave and gentle and wise. Why wouldn't people like him?
Probably the laser in his bum.
That's dangerous.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I'd like to see more Astro Boy content. There's been some video games as well, haven't there, that maybe weren't great?
I've never seen an Astro Boy video game.
Yeah. Anyway, what else, Mason?
Let's see. This is from Brian. Graduation shout-out. We're doing all shouts and all shout-outs week.
Goodness.
Think about that. Hey, James and Mason. I teach film in the senior grades of high school, and while talking to a student the other day, I found out he was also an avid listener to the pod. Since he's one of my favourite students I've taught in my years teaching, I was wondering if you could wish Ruben best of luck in film school and congratulate him on finishing high school from Mr. Chambers.
Well done, Ruben, for finishing high school and film school and to Mr. Chambers.
we're congratulating him in advance on finishing film school?
Well, teachers play a pivotal role also, Mason. Do you not want to congratulate a teacher for the hard work that they've done?
I feel our podcast is thanks enough.
I agree, especially if you pay us for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not for a big sandwich or anything.
No. Just cash.
Pay us some cash.
There was a 2009 Astro Boy the video game based off the movie. It has an average rating of 4.3 stars out of...
10 stars?
4.3. Wow, it's really good.
That's perfect score.
Out of 5.
Really?
Apparently. But then IGN gave it a 4 out of 10. You can't trust user reviews or IGN or anybody.
Mm.
I think it was a platformy, side-scrolly thing, was it? I'm just going to look now. Anyways, anything else or should we give it a minute?
Let me find one email.
Oh, this looks terrible.
What's that?
The game.
Oh, no.
He's not even
flying. What is it? Is it a platform game?
Platform game, yeah. Okay. It's a 2009 platformer. Yeah, no, it's all right, actually. Anyways.
Okay.
Mason, I'm ready to pack it up. Pack it in.
Yeah, no, 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 no. I've got to find more money.
Pack it up. Pack it in. Let me begin.
No, 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 no.
Okay, while you're doing that, this is from Miss Cons True Ed, who says, briefly rejoined a dating app and was chatting to some bloke. I sent him a photo of me in my Weekly Planet, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod t-shirt, and he made no comment about it. Blocked and deleted. Loser. I agree.
That's true.
But
I think finding true love, not as important as
supporting the show.
That's true, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Also, this podcast isn't that popular, so there's a very good chance that you might meet somebody great who might not know who we are.
Maybe wear a Joe Rogan Experience t-shirt. Maybe that'll get a little something there.
Oh, you'll definitely get some kind of reaction.
Yeah. I mean, you could just get our t-shirt.
Yeah.
Buy one of our t-shirts and, like, cross out Weekly Planet on it and write Joe Rogan Experience on it, you know?
Mm.
And draw us taking DMT.
That's right. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mason?
I'm going to find one more
Mason,
email.
I got to get out of here. I don't have time for your tomfoolery. Absolute silliness that you've got going on in here.
Okay, here's one more shout-out, James.
Let's do
more
it.
One shout-out episode.
Let's do
this
it.
From Chloe.
Hello, Chloe.
Your biggest fan's birthday shout-out.
What?
Hello, lads.
My mum?
Yeah, that's right.
She hates this show.
And us.
Yeah.
Me, mostly.
Yeah, you.
I mean, a lot more when I was young, but she seemed to have mellowed a bit.
Anyway, you don't see her as much.
No, that's true. That's probably why. Hello, lads. Hope you're having a brilliant week and the babies and trams are doing well.
Yeah.
Please could you wish my wonderful boyfriend, Sammo, a happy birthday. He listens to you guys every week and runs around singing the letters song. It's not annoying at all. So I think it will make his day to have his own letter. I realize now that makes him sound like a child, but he is in fact turning 25 and just very excited. He's the best person ever and deserves a birthday that's just as good. So this is me trying my best. Thank you. If you guys are ever in England, Sammo will gladly make you a cuppa.
Of?
From Chloe and Soup the Cat.
Well, thank you so much, Chloe and the Cat.
P.S. His birthday is 2nd July, but reading this out anytime is great. Thank you.
That's right. That's coming up. So that's not a problem at all. That is actually going to be, Mason. It's coming up this week on the 2nd of July, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is. Yes, terrific.
Next Saturday.
That's correct.
Wow, that's the show. I need to go on a really long drive, Mason.
I don't.
Ah.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to the show. We definitely, absolutely, 100% appreciate it. We wouldn't be here without yous. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for telling your friends about the show. Thank you for leaving a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. That's how we get some new listeners. James, you got any 5-star reviews there?
I actually don't, no. So do the rest of the thing and then I'll come back to it.
Okay, get those at the end. Folks, if you want to contact the show, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Pod subreddits and Discords. You can follow our friend Rob Collings over at The Weekly Planet on Twitter and at Raw Collings on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown. You can follow me on Instagram at Nick Maso. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. You can chuck in a buck or, in fact, any amount you wouldn't miss. That is the key there. But if you're a big-time, big spender for $9 US per month, you can go to bigsandwich.co. We've got all kinds of bonus podcasts and movie commentaries and early videos and all kinds of stuff over there.
Mm.
Also, thank you to the Brute and the Bassist and Rackham for all our musical themes. You can get t-shirts on tpublic.com. You just search for The Weekly Planet over there.
That's so easy.
Just pick a weird one.
Yeah, pick a weird one.
Then go on a dating app.
Yeah.
And demand people
recognize it. Yes.
Yes, perfect.
I'm with you.
Nice.
Right. As mentioned, that Thor commentary is up, ready to go. And I'm just getting one more review. Here we go. It's annoying because when I pop them into my Google Doc, I have to change the font's white. It doesn't matter, so you can't read it. But anyway, this is a 5-star review. You can just do it in-app from Gav, who says, fantastic podcast. This podcast helped me get through lockdown in my city, and it's absolutely hilarious. Also, I can't hear Tom Holland without thinking about Mason's Tom Holland voice. Thanks for ruining Spider-Man for me. I may have read that out last week. But here's my new one from Brennan, who says, the best review, James. This podcast is Shrek-tastically a pig rolling down a hill.
That is so true.
Perfect. Next week, we're going to do a bit of a Star Trek thing.
Yes.
And other things also.
That's right.
We'll talk about that,
heck
though.
Yeah.
Heck yes. Thanks, everybody.
Grab that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.